Welcome to the virtual coffee break presented by OpenText Portfolio. We host concise, relevant discussions every month on a diverse set of topics related to digital transformation, information governance, process management, and data privacy. If you have questions or topic suggestions, we can be reached at igc_sales@opentext.com. Thank you, and now enjoy the podcast.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to our coffee break. I am joined today with two of the leading experts in business process automation that will bring different perspectives to this particular coffee break around this topic. First of all, I'd like to welcome to the panel Kevin Bedingfield from Clear Cadence. Kevin's a senior business analyst, and he has worked with several organizations surrounding their business processes and how to enhance them, driving higher efficiencies, more profitability. So he'll bring some really great perspectives of being in the trenches with different organizations around this topic. The second expert I have with me today is David Berglund. He's our Senior Director of Software Development at OpenText. And he's gonna bring sort of that unique perspective of what goes into these types of solutions, why they're developed, what are the best practices for organizations on embracing new technologies. And I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce myself. I head up client relations for one of the divisions within OpenText. And we really felt like this might be a really interesting topic to many. So thank you for joining us today. And I think, you know, I guess a great way to start is really to kick it off with what is business process automation and or BPA as we typically will refer to it. What is it just in general? So let's get both your perspectives about that.
Okay, I'll start. I've been doing this for so long, it's actually gone through several different titles and acronyms. I mean, it used to be just simply image processing. You scan in an image, and instead of having paper on the desk, you're putting it into your computer and you're sending it from person to person electronically as opposed to physical paper. But then it was business process management, and then there was case management, which was more ad hoc, where you would, instead of having a structured workflow, knowing when it leaves point A, it's either going to go to point B or point C, where case management was more ad hoc, where you could just basically send it and bring in anybody you wanted to. That went for a little while, and then I think we're back now to more structured workflow being the norm. But at the core of it all, it is just automating your business processes to make them more efficient and to gain more information from it.
Yeah, it is. I have to agree. It's exactly that. It's when you bring in technology to create a structure and manage the work that you're performing in your business environment, something that puts rules around it, make sure that you drive consistent processing, drive efficiency, drive control in order to become better, more effective, more efficient in processing work. And it started off, Kevin, you mentioned starting out with paper, and interestingly now, you know, it's not just paper, it's we more call it content, because it could be paper, it could be fax, it could be an email, it could be just a form filled out online. Any kind of content that has to be handled by a business can be managed with BPA.
And where do you think it's going? So we talked about where it's been and kind of how its infancy was to where we are today. Where do you think it's going in terms of the future of BPA?
I think it's going to, the more you use BPA, the more data and the more information you're going to get out of it. So you set up your structures, you set up your workflows, you know how you want things to be done. But now when you start running your business through it, you're going to see and get more data than you probably ever have before. And I think that's going to be where the next steps occur. It's going to be taking that data, analyzing it, knowing what to do with it. And then even further might be to plot for busy periods. So let's say, for instance, you always have a higher workflow during the fall. By utilizing BPA and knowing what you're doing within your workflow, you can then, and I think even in the future, be able to simulate processes such that you can actually tell how many people you're going to need during that busy month, and what hours are going to be more expected to have more people to in order to handle the workflow. This is the type of information I think we're going to start mining out of a BPA workflow system.
More.
Yeah, the use of AI for that is definitely a strength and a growing trend in BPA, and it extends beyond even your work environment. That can extend to other parts of your company, whether it be sales and marketing. Using the information you get from BPA can help you understand what products are moving well, which products aren't moving well, where is there a decline in my business, where is there growth in my business, and help you better focus your efforts in growing your business in the right areas. BPA tells you a lot about your business and what's going on in your company.
Yeah, exactly. BPA, if it's not already, it should be regarded as an enterprise system, just as your email, your mainframe, your network would be. When a business is planning out its enterprise strategy for the year, and they've got their five goals they want to meet for that year, BPA should be essential in determining how you are doing in reaching those goals. By getting this data that I'm talking about and being able to mine it, you should be able to tell, a top executive should be able to pull up a dashboard and know how on track they are or are way off track they are on reaching one or more of their enterprise strategies. A lot of times people will put a BPA as a one-time solution in one department and maybe even a subsection of that department and leave it. And they're really missing out on an opportunity for more growth and being able to really put the strength of a BPA as an enterprise solution.
Yeah, you see that a lot. And you mentioned growth, and it was just reminding me of how many times I've seen somebody will start with a BPA to do something very basic, whether it's an accounts payable system or a claim system. And, you know, I've been in this so long now that I've gone back to customers recently to see, you know, where they're at with the product. And I didn't even realize that they've now expanded to six departments throughout the company because they find out, wow, this stuff is really, really effective. It's really useful to help me understand what's going on and control it. And the benefits are very easy to attain.
Yep.
Do you think that there are industries where it's more relevant, or do you think it's across the board? Do you see it more and differently in certain industries at all?
Well, I think you see it probably more than anywhere else, probably in the financial healthcare industries, but every industry has a process. So this is not something that should be only for financial industry, for example. Everybody has a process, from pharmacy to manufacturing to doctor's offices in general. How many times you go to a doctor's office and you see all those files behind the secretary saying, I always go in there and go, why don't you put this into a BPA system instead of having these files? I can't imagine the amount of work it is to move files around. But I don't think there is a industry specific. I don't think this is a industry specific. I think it's across all of them.
Yeah, the most high level thing I always can think of first is there a customer involved in your business? Is there customer service? Because as soon as you have a dependency where being reactive, being quick to service customers, to giving them good service, to having that consistency in your business, BPA benefits you there. And that's the first place my mind always goes. So whether you're submitting an application for a loan, whether you're putting in an insurance claim, whether you're putting in an application for employment somewhere, anywhere there's an exchange of information from outside your company to inside, that's a no-brainer. That's a place where BPM will be beneficial.
So where do organizations typically start on something like this? Do they get a consultant? Is it a specific department internally that would drive something like this? How do you start looking at it?
I'm sorry. It usually obviously starts with a need. And so you do tend to find that, at least in my experience, the introduction of BPA is because there is a department who has a need and recognizes that BPA is valuable. And so they may hire on, someone like my company, Clear Cadence, or professional services at OpenText, and bring in people to analyze their current workflow to find out, how it works today, and then figure out how to improve upon it, and then put that into a BPA system. And then further to that, champion what you've done across the company so that other people can recognize the value of BPA and hopefully do like what Dave said earlier, where, you know, you started at one spot in one department, and then over the years it grew roots and now it's across all of the company. That was exactly what happened when I first worked on the business side of things. We started in one department, and by the end of my time there, it was in every department.
What about KPIs and looking at measures? I would imagine, you know, if you're starting out looking at the process itself, do those come after the fact, or are those something that are set beforehand?
This is like one of the strengths of the technology, because not only are you using technology to manage the process and define how things should get from point A to point B and who should see things and who should get things done, but because it's technology, you can collect that information every bit along the way. So you can see how long it takes to do this part of a process and that part, and the overall process. You can see where your process connects with other systems or other resources in your company. You know, a solution is not just a BPA system. It's that BPA system and everything it glues together from other databases you have and other myriad of users that are probably involved in completing an item of work. And then all that information then you can use for like the data mining where talking about earlier, even more simply, just reporting on how much work do I get in every day or every month, from what region, from what people, who's processing it, where am I lagging behind and where am I ahead of the curve, where can I balance things so that I work more effectively. All of that data, because you're using technology to manage it, becomes available to you for lots of reporting possibilities.
But make sure you know what it is you want to report on going into the analysis. A lot of people want to just put the reports at the end, like, oh, hey, by the way, I need to know about all this stuff. And BPA gathers a tremendous amount of information. Maybe so much so that if you don't target specifically what it is you want to report off of, you may just have too much to really... You can never have too much information. You can certainly dive through it. But if you know what you want to report off from the start, it's much easier to make sure that that reporting is taken care of and handled within the BPA as you build the system itself.
I would imagine that integrations bring more complexity to this. So how does that work? And what types of integrations do organizations typically look at for a BPA system with other stuff within their organization? I guess my question would be, is there something that's more prominent in terms of what's integrated in terms of other systems? Is there any sort of trends that you can speak to?
There's always, you know, a lot of BPA systems have been around and grown with the environments over time. And that leads to where, I guess, to approach and answer one way, you said, what's prominent? And the first things I see all the time are the opportunity to use an integration with some kind of character recognition to automate processes. You know, forms come in, they come in with the same information. Why do you have to read it and type it in? You can automate that and rule out or reduce the number of errors and things of that sort that come up. You can, or more likely than that, have other databases in your system. So having a BPA system that can go then and synchronize or read data behind the scenes from another system to present that all to the user at once, so that maybe they look at a transaction once instead of twice, and so that they only have to go one place instead of three in order to get something done. Those are very valuable efficiencies. Those are just the first two examples that come to mind, that kind of automation.
Yeah, I agree with the databases. I see probably querying databases to be probably the number one integration point that I come across, but also a lot of web services. BPA really is kind of, could also be a switchboard to help integrate numerous systems into one single case or one single process. And web services are RESTful web services or just regular APIs. Most BPA systems can handle those and integrate with those just as easily as anything else. And it becomes such that you just map what's in your BPA process to the web service that you're calling to get back information easily enough. So there's no reason you can't get as much information as you need into a process.
Okay. And BPAs really, they become that real coordinator of your business activities. Right.
And are you, so the person driving the initiative within the organization, are they typically interviewing, I would imagine, multiple stakeholders across different departments because you're integrating other processes and things? This isn't sort of an isolated initiative. I would imagine it's very broad. So on a timeline perspective, with all of these things to do and all these different touch points, how much time does it take to develop? So if I want to bring BPA into my organization, is it a day? Is it a month? Is it weeks? What does it look like, I guess, logistically?
It always depends on what it is you're trying to build. And a lot of times companies, when they're thinking about getting a BPA software platform, they'll go and they'll say, hey, you know what? Give them the most complicated process we've got. If they can get it built and works on there, then the simple ones will be easy. I get the line of thinking, but I think it's the wrong way to think of it. You get most of your work out of your what's considered the happy path of your business, the ones that go through without exceptions. Those are the ones that are probably the majority of, 70 or 80% of the work that goes through your system. Get those on first. And to where you start with the lowest level person who's working in the process, and you find out what it is they do. You capture that and you get a workflow, you get whiteboard sessions. But it's very important that the entire project team be promoters and sold on the idea of BPA, because they're going to become the champions of it and allow it to grow to other departments and throughout the whole organization. But it's going to start that first person, it's the file clerk or whatever, and then do that happy path, get that first, and then you can add on your exception processing as you identify what that is and build out and get people comfortable using the product to begin with. Because it is a change. If you're used to working on paper and then all of a sudden you're on a BPA system, that is a significant change to the way you do business. And a lot of times users aren't real acceptable change, but I tell you, you get them working on it for a couple of weeks and then they love it and they'll never want to go back.
Another reason to start simple too is because you're probably going to underestimate the amount of analysis, the amount of things that you learn through analysis. You start with a simple change of address process and you watch your people work and you sit next to them and you find out, wow, I didn't even realize. And I've heard that so many times in the past when I worked with customers, like, well, I didn't even realize it's how we process the change of address. What's going on here? I didn't know we talked to that system. I didn't know we did something else. And then that proof of concept, using that simple case first to implement that, and you polish it up and you see everything you can do for you. You get a little bit of reporting from it. You can do a little integration with it. Then as you go up the line with it, it's easy to present what the benefits are of a BPA solution. And you get that effect of, well, this is just a change of address. Imagine if we implemented this on our really complicated processes where there's lots of decisions to make and lots of checkpoints and lots of things we need to make sure go correctly and in a timely manner so that at the end of it, we're doing it quickly, we're servicing our customers the best we can and really getting that benefit that you can get from implementation of BPA.
Yeah, and even if you weren't looking at a BPA product, doing this type of analysis and getting this all on paper and understanding what you're doing should be what you're doing anyway. This isn't something that's married to buying a piece of software. This is part of your business processes, and understanding what they are and understanding how to improve them should be number one on everybody's list.
Any final thoughts, both of you, on where they start, what to avoid, what to make sure you do first? Any sort of final bringing it all together for folks that are on the line?
The one thing I hear a lot these days when it comes to BPA is the term low code. And there is certainly a lot of benefit with a lot of packages and software implementation or software products now for BPA that involve low code. And there is a use for it. You can have a business analyst start building out a workflow in the tool that will save time development-wise, because instead of them putting it into Visio and into a requirements document, they can actually start building out the logic within the tool itself. So that's where your low code comes in. But to think that you can do all of what you need to do low code is, I think, a bit of a misnomer. You always will have to have some level of coding, whether it's simple JavaScript or VBScript or even just integration points with databases and web services we mentioned earlier. These are things that are a little bit beyond your typical BA from being able to do, So I just always use a little caution when you start when people start talking about low code. I don't think there's a 100% low code solution out there, but it definitely has its need, and I think it just needs to be approached in the right way.
Dave, final thoughts from you?
The thing that stuck on my mind is just the analysis. Don't underestimate it. Go in with that. And, you know, in the analysis too, you're going to see where, when you start looking at products, that idea of integrations and possibly the need to have a flexibility of doing code, as Kevin was just describing, that comes out. The analysis is really critical to all of this. Don't pass that up. And you will be surprised in all likelihood, you'll be surprised at how things are done and how you can make them better. Yep. It really is always a rewarding process.
I want to change my answer to that.
Well, with that, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for participating today and sharing your thoughts as it relates to, I'm having a problem here with the contact slide. There we go. I just wanted to share your information as well with the listeners and the viewers today. You have obviously great perspectives from different points of view on this entire topic and organizations that are looking more and more for making better efficiencies, particularly within the environment we're in today. If you need any of our assistance, if you need to reach any one of us, here's our contact information. And for our viewers and listeners that have registered through Eventbrite, you will get a copy of this recording. So you'll have that as well. So thank you everyone for joining us today. Much appreciated to our panel, and have a wonderful day. We'll see you at the next coffee break.